Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get one-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $5.99 each. Then get select varieties of Lay's or Kettle Cooked potato chips for $1.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, happy Tuesday morning to you. The first Tuesday of every month is reserved for my little princess. Okay, she's not a little princess. She's a queen, and she is little, though. Marianne Hamilton is here. Hi, Marianne. How
Good
are you?
Good morning, Andy, and welcome to Holiday Madness and Giving Tuesday.
It is Giving Tuesday. Yes. I've been talking about it on the air today, mm-hmm. and, you know, we lost, I know this is stupid, but we lost the title. The most charitable state in the country for years and years and years
yes.
has been Utah.
We lost
Utah
it.
Utah is now number two. Wyoming, of all states, is number one.
Are there enough people in Wyoming?
I don't know. If it's a per capita thing, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, Wyoming's number one. Utah is number two now.
We must be a close second, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, but we got to get it back.
We need
to give more. Yeah.
Maybe Wyoming was watching Utah and decided to, you know, emulate the kindness of our residents.
I know there are going to be Wyoming people listening right now, but and I apologize in advance, but I know some Wyoming folks and they're not super charitable, if you ask me. I'm sure some of them really are. I mean, obviously they are. They're number one, but yeah, I know a couple that are like, really? Okay.
Okay, so. Well, maybe they've converted. Who knows?
Yeah,
they've seen the light.
Perhaps so.
Yeah.
Marianne sent me a text the other day, and I have to say, Marianne, I think you just set a new record for longest text in my text feed ever.
Yeah, I think my thumbs were pretty much toast by the time I finished.
Did you text us with your phone? Because my wife will send me some longer ones, but she has a deal where her computer connects to it, so she can just type it on a regular keyboard. But this is actually through your phone.
That was actually with my hot little thumbs, yeah.
There are nine items on the text with an intro and a closing.
Well, I'm a writer, Andy. I'm a journalist. So,
that's right. And some of the items are, like number three here is really long. but anyway, no, it's okay. I don't mind at all because obviously it didn't cost me anything.
Yeah. So. Well, it's all prep for today. So
yes, it's good stuff. So let's dive into it. First of all, you talked about that you're retiring from teaching water aerobics. My fitness guru is not going to be teaching fitness anymore.
I retired on, the 18th of November.
Wow.
And after about 10 years of bouncing up and down on a concrete pool deck, it takes a toll on aging bones.
It does. On any bone.
Yes. As much as I love teaching and I love people in my classes, I don't love them enough to have a hip replacement. So after a while, it was getting pretty inflamed every week. So.
Well, and one of the things, too, I think maybe people don't realize, if you're teaching water aerobics, you can't be in the water because if you were in the water, the impact would be low, but you can't be in there because then they can't see what to do. You actually have to be up on the deck.
That's both things can be true. Actually out at Brio, because the classes are much smaller, I was able to get in the water, which was great. So people could see me. I could get in the middle of the pool and sort of demonstrate the moves. But at the Aquatic Center in Santa Clara, there are people in three different swimming pools.
Oh, wow.
And you're up in the middle of them gesticulating. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it's taken a toll. And I just thought, okay, it's time. So they had a very nice farewell party for me and sent me off with some gift cards so I could furnish my new office.
Nice. And that's actually what we're going to talk about next. Well, before we get to that, let's talk about Art Around the Corner.
Oh, yes.
Another thing you are kind of stepping aside.
Yeah. From. This is my, in fact, Thursday night will be my last board meeting. And I am sliding off at that organization also after almost 10 years. And having served as chair, I feel like I've kind of done as much as I possibly can and given them as much as many original ideas as I might have in my brain, and it's time for new, fresh blood to come on deck.
it's a real transition time for you because there's something else you're stepping down from too. But as far as the art thing, you're not stepping away from art.
Not at all. In September, actually, my husband Doug and I were appointed to the board of directors of the Kayenta Arts Foundation, which we're very excited about because they're doing some really interesting programming out there. And a lot of people don't realize that the programs that take place at the Center for the Arts at Kayenta are not just for residents of Kayenta. They're open to the community, and they do some really, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, in fact, this Friday they're having their monthly First Friday event. Even if the weather's cold, they'll be indoors, but they always have live entertainment and food and, you know, fun stuff.
I've been to a couple of plays out there. I went out there one time with my son and his wife and my wife to a, I wish I could remember, some kind of jazz, I can't even know what you would call it. They had a live band playing jazz music. There was dancing and... I don't remember if there was dinner or not, but it was kind of a, it was a really cool event. My son loves jazz like I do, jazz music, and so we were able to go hang out. The only bad thing about it, and this happened at one of the plays we went to as well, is they had a smoke machine, and it triggered my wife's asthma. So we actually had to leave both events a little bit early because she couldn't breathe.
Good to know. You know, in fact, that's something I'll relay to the other board members and say, hey, you know, that's something to consider for people in our community that may have issues with that.
It creates a cool atmosphere.
It does.
I mean, it looks good, but yeah, if you can't breathe, you can't breathe, right?
Well, if you like jazz, come this Friday night to First Friday because they're having a jazz combo again.
Nice.
And three guys who are just fantastic performers, and it's really, really fun.
Love that kind of music. Yeah. I know it's not for everyone. Not everyone loves it. I trace it back to my roots as a saxophone player,
and
that in order to get better, I listened to some of the really great jazz players and grew a fondness for that kind of music. So
it's quite intricate, and it also can be, you know, quite freeform and inventive, and really good jazz musicians just kind of innovate the entire time, and it's really exciting to watch them.
Very cool. Improv. I love it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're at Kayenta, and by the way, it's not Kayenta, it's Kayenta. I found that out the very first play I went out there. I was like, yeah, going out to Kayenta. They're, no, you are not going out to Kayenta.
Yeehaw, Kayenta.
It kind of sounded cowboy-ish.
Kind of, but it's
not. It's Kayenta.
Kayenta.
Kayenta. Okay. Okay, back to your new job. Tell us about your new office.
This is very, very cool. When I went to the folks at the city and said, yeah, I'm thinking about retiring. They said, oh, well, do you have some extra time? So, and of course, I would like to retain my free golf privileges. So that was a no-brainer. In any case, I'm now working for the community services group, and I'm writing grants for arts programs and recreation and trails programs and doing some press releases.
Now, you're a journalist.
I'm a journalist, yes.
And some would say you've crossed over to the other side writing press releases and grants because that's PR stuff.
I've been doing
How
marketing.
Do you feel about that?
I've been doing marketing my whole life as well. You know, basically writing is writing is writing. And if you're writing a press release and you're also a journalist, you kind of know what the journalists who are going to be running your, hopefully running your stories, press releases, want to hear and read. So that kind of helps with writing the press release side of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in fact, yesterday I wrote my first press release, and it's about the free winter concert that's coming up a week from tonight at Electric Theater with a guy who does a John Denver Christmas tribute band.
Really?
Yeah, it's really, 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 really good. Yeah. So that's a free event open to the community at 7:30, I believe, at the Electric Theater next week. And, you know,
it's not Sam Payne, is it?
No.
No, different guy.
His name is Ted Vigil.
Did you happen to know, was Sam Payne still around when you came to town?
I don't recall the name.
Sam Payne was a local singer, but he moved up, and I think he works for BYU Radio now, but...
Oh, okay.
That dude did a dead-on John Denver, and he actually looked kind of, he had the round glasses, and he looked a lot like John Denver, too.
After the show, Google Ted Vigil, he looks exactly like John
Denver.
It's really, really, really amazing.
All I can say is stay out of homemade airplanes, though.
Yeah. Bad joke.
I know. Well, I can't say it too soon. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. But he's crisscrossing the country. He's playing gigs, he's from Seattle, and he's playing in Maine and Pennsylvania and Arizona and all over the country. He takes this, you know, John Denver Christmas program across the country every year.
Next Friday.
Next Tuesday.
The 10th. A week from.
Yeah.
I will be probably in Salt Lake that day, or I would go.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I have a commitment that I got to take care of. Okay. So next Tuesday, that would be December, what, 10th?
10th.
10th. You're right. Yeah. December 10th.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So open to the public. I would suggest, since it's open seating and it's free, to, go a little early and find a place to sit.
And this is where?
This is at the Electric Theater.
Electric Theater.
68 Tabernacle. And it is, again, without cost, but they do appreciate donations to the Electric Theater to keep their.
And I assume Mr. Vigil will have some swag for sale after the concert, maybe some CDs or something?
Could be. Yeah. I don't know for sure, but usually those musicians do bring their swag.
And usually pretty good stuff. Like if you like the concert, you go buy the CD after so you can play it at home.
Take them home with you, yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay, so how is the new office?
So, you'll love this. So, I am in what was formerly a supply closet.
Really?
Yes, in the Electric Theater building. If you walk in the front door of the Arrowhead Gallery and just keep going straight back towards the back of the building, towards where City Hall is going to be, on the very last office on your right, which actually used to be the St. George Dance Company sort of supply closet / office. It is now my office.
Okay.
So I moved in there yesterday, and I am exactly three steps across the hall from a small restroom and an AED machine.
Oh. So you got everything covered.
Yeah. They know how old I am, so I guess they put me there in case of emergency.
You will need the bathroom, but hopefully you won't need the other one.
Let's hope. Yeah.
In case people are wondering what she's talking about, that's that machine that shocks your heart if you have a heart attack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and actually that leads us into item number three.
Oh, yes.
I actually skipped three, and now we want to come back to it.
There was a correlation, yeah.
Talking about AEDs, though.
Yeah.
Now, what does that stand for, and what is it?
Oh, God. Automatic something device.
Electrocardiogram. Yeah.
Electrocardiographic. I don't know. Ask Dr. Budget tomorrow.
We'll look it up. But, okay. Tell us about it and what it is and why. Is it important and does it work?
Well, I know that last month when Dr. Blodgett was on, you were having a conversation about what happens when people need to be shocked with an AED. And he said, if your heart starts again, your chances are kind of slim and none that it's going to continue. And
it's pretty low.
It's pretty low. However, at the Huntsman World Senior Games in October, where Doug and I were race directors for the race walking and the power walking, we saw firsthand how important it is to have those devices and that they actually can save lives. The very first day of our events, the race walking events, a gentleman finished his race, came over the finish line, and keeled over and had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And fortunately, one of our athletes was there, and he's in law enforcement up in Sandy. His son was with him to watch him, compete, and his son is an EMT. So he went immediately over and started administering CPR. From what I understand, there was a nurse on hand who then grabbed the AED. Here's what's interesting.
By the way, before you finish your story, automated external defibrillator.
External defibrillator. Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah. I should know this. So each year for the different events at the Huntsman World Senior Games, you get, sort of plastic bins full of equipment, supplies and stuff to stock your place. And we were putting everything together the night before to put in the car, and our assistant director said, here's the bins in our car. We don't have our AED. And so they texted me, and I thought, I've been doing this for, this is my 13th year. I've never seen the need for it. It's probably overkill, but, just to make sure. So I texted, our sports director at the games office. He brought one over the next morning at 6:30, and this guy went down at 8:30.
Wow.
So had it not been there.
Had you not followed procedure and gotten one of those.
Correct. And the crazy thing was I didn't even know what had happened. So my assistant director and I were over at one end of the Dixie High School football field, the track, I'm sorry. And we were checking in people for the power walking. And we finished that, and we thought, God, it's really, really quiet. And I looked up over the fence, and somebody said, we have an athlete down. So I went running out there with my phone to call 911, but they had already done that, and the EMTs were actually on the way. It took them about 6 minutes to get there. And as it turns out, they were able to, shock him back. He was taken to St. George Regional Hospital. He was there from Friday until Sunday. Then he went back up home to the hospital in Murray. And then he had surgery on Monday. And they found a pretty significant blockage and put in stents and things. And he's going to be just fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the number that Dr. Blodgett and I were talking about as far as the percentage, I think it was 8% of people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people go, okay, so that's 1 in 12. That just said it doesn't happen. That's like 0%. It's not like 0%. Right. 8% and 0% are very different.
Very, very different.
1 in 12 and 0 in 12 are very different, you know. And mm-hmm. so I think, I hope we didn't give the impression that it was a waste of time to do that.
Not
kind
at
of
all.
Thing.
I think he was trying to say, you know, if it gets to this point, it's pretty dire. It's
yeah,
pretty severe.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I like to think that because this gentleman who had the episode was an athlete and was in pretty good shape before this, I mean, aside from cardiac blockage,
yeah.
Maybe that helped his chances of recovery more than the typical person who might have had that happen.
And Dr. Blodgett will, and he'll probably remind us again tomorrow, the number one killer in America is not cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not suicide. It's not murder. It's not any of the, it is heart disease.
Yep. Yeah. And so many of us could have things going on that we don't know about because we don't have symptoms
right.
immediately. Or maybe things are happening that you kind of think, oh, I'm kind of tired, or I don't have the energy I used to, or my chest mm-hmm. feels kind of tight. But you don't really associate that with heart blockage. And it could be something that you should have checked out.
So it is not worthless to have an AED, an automated external defibrillator
yes.
On hand. It's just, you know, if whoever needs one gets to that point, their odds of survival are low, but mm-hmm. not zero. They're
not
just
zero.
Low.
Not zero.
Yeah.
So I'm just.
And you're living proof. You saw yeah. firsthand that it actually does work occasionally.
We're incredibly thankful. That afternoon I was over at the Dixie Center and Kyle Case, who's the CEO of this Huntsman World Senior Games, came up and he gave me a hug. He said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Well, I'm fine. I'm worried about the."
It wasn't me.
Yeah, he said, "But it must have been traumatic for you guys." And I said, "Well, you know, I was not there actually when he fell down, but I was certainly there in the aftermath, and that was pretty upsetting."
Yeah.
And it certainly casts a bit of a pall over the rest of the day.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, and people were very concerned the remainder of the week. But fortunately, he's going to be fine.
Wonder, you said it had never happened in your 13 years of
right.
overseeing that event, but I wonder how often it happens in the entire senior games.
It's happened a couple of times. I think typically it happens every couple of years.
So it doesn't happen every year,
no,
but it does happen.
It does happen, yeah. So, you know, that's why they're very, very, very vigilant about putting an AED in every single sports bin before you begin your events, just in case. It's just better to be, you know, cautious, of course.
Yeah, and again, we don't want to say, well, you must follow the rules every time, but this seems like a pretty smart thing to do, to
yeah.
say,
yeah,
let's
yeah.
make sure we have one, just in case. I know we're not going to probably need it. 13 years, you haven't needed
yeah,
it until
yeah.
this year, and so, you know, that actually falls almost right in line with the odds we were talking about, 1 in 12 or whatever, and but yeah, there, you know, it worked.
And if I were, you know, believed in whatever, it's 13 is an unlucky number, so it's our 13th year. You know?
By the way, next Friday, this week, but next Friday is Friday the 13th.
Friday 13th, yeah.
Are you a superstitious?
I'm not.
What is it Michael Scott used to say on The Office? I'm just a little stitious. I'm not superstitious, just a little stitious.
I like that.
I'm not a superstitious person either. I've never been into any of that. In fact, I've been chastised over the years because in baseball, if you have a no-hitter going into the like fifth or sixth mm-hmm. inning, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to talk about it as an announcer.
Oh.
You do not mention that he hasn't allowed a hit. You just don't even say anything. And I have called many no-hitters and some non-no-hitters and mentioned it in the fifth and sixth inning because I'm not super. I don't think what I say on the radio has any bearing on whether or not this kid allows a baseball hit, a hit or not. So.
And then the guys don't shave before the World Series or during the
yeah.
World Series.
Oh yeah, there's some guys that wore the same socks for every home game their entire season when they had a winning streak or whether they
wow.
a 20 game winning streak. You wore the same socks. I'm like,
did they wash them?
Did you wash them? He's like, no, I don't want it. No, that would be terrible.
Oh.
That would ruin the karma or good luck or whatever.
That would also clear out the locker room. I'm
yeah.
guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are people that work in theater that can't pronounce the name of that play, you know.
Oh, really? That's one of the theater taboos, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You don't say the name of it?
Macbeth.
Macbeth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because someone might, I don't understand that.
It's supposedly it's bad luck to mention that name. It's like saying, you know, good luck instead of, you have to say break a leg. You know, they're pretty superstitious, I guess, from many, many years back.
I read somewhere that you wish someone in a cast that's in the cast break a leg because they're in the cast. Does that really have anything to do with it, or is that just a silly joke?
I think it's actually that's it. Yeah, it's supposed to be, you know, don't you might encourage that to happen.
Okay. All right. How are we on our list? Oh, the tree lighting ceremony last night.
Last night.
I had full intention on going. We got a call from some friends. Hey, we need pickleball partners. You want to come? And I am a sucker for pickleball. So I went over and played pickleball over at Sullivan and did not get to the tree lighting. But you're going to tell me about it, yeah?
It was beautiful. They did a different thing this year for the first time. Different thing for the first time, of course. In past years, there would be the ceremony with the singing and the presentation of, you know, whatever. And then they would light up the tree. This year, they lit the tree up first, and then they did all the stuff afterwards. So it was actually much more festive because people were arriving, and, you know, it's all beautiful and twinkling and gorgeous. And they, oh, my gosh, the parks people do such an extraordinary job in putting all those lights up. They start, you know, weeks before, and they're out there in the cold hanging lights from every possible tree and branch and shrub in town square. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, those guys put in extra time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up there doing, I call it dangerous work. If they're up on these big ladders or cherry pickers or whatever. My son has a three-story house, and he was up doing his roof, and I'm like, dude, he's up on the roof putting lights up. And I said, well, I didn't get up to the highest part. So I'm like,
you're
30 feet off the ground, and there's no water under you. If you fall off, you're going to hit something hard, and it's not going to feel good.
No.
So,
but in fact, a bunch of us who work for the city had gone, I think last month, and we were putting up lights in front of the St. George Art Museum. And I was up on a ladder that I didn't really feel very comfortable on. I don't like heights too much.
Yeah, I'm with you. Although I'm permanently tall.
Yes.
Well. So there's those heights. But, I'd rather not. You know, it's funny because I'm okay on an airplane,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of thing. But it's the height, it's those medium heights that kind of get me. Of course, I say Angel's Landing. I wouldn't go up there either.
Mm-mm,
so. Have you been up there?
No. I did not go up all the way. I went to the
Walters Wiggle.
Whatever it is. Yeah, no. We went to one year to the top of the Empire State Building. And I walked out, looked over the edge, and went right back into the elevator and said, nope, not doing this.
That's kind of how I've been with tall buildings. Yeah. I'll get within about 8 feet of the ledge, and they're like, aren't you going to come look over? I'm like,
nope.
Not interested.
No, thank you.
I can tell I'm very high in the air. Thank you very much.
Even the Grand Canyon was a bit freaky the first time, but then I sort of made myself, you know, deal with it. It was okay.
And when my sons were teenagers, we'd go to the Grand Canyon, and they would just go right out on the edge and poking their heads over and throwing rocks over the side. I'm like, you guys,
please.
All it takes is a slip. One little slip on a rock or something, and you're done. And,
yeah. I think, you know, with the Grand Canyon, it's so vast. And it just doesn't even seem real. Of course, those of us who were brought up with Disney movies sort of feel like this is just a big stage set. So maybe the, you know, vertigo doesn't quite as effective or extreme.
All right. We got to get a break in. I did want to mention tonight. So I say tonight, 4 o'clock, 4 to 6 today. I'm going to be over at Advanced Windows. That is a window replacement company. Joe, he's been on the show before, but basically, if you have a house that's older than, say, about 10 to 15 years old, about 15 years, you probably have old style windows that they're letting air leak in, and they're just not up to par.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be amazed how much money you could save on your power bill every single month if you got some good windows put in. So I'm going to be over there at Advanced Windows 4 to 6. We're going to invite people to call. We don't normally, with a live remote, which is what we call these things when I go somewhere on location, we're inviting a whole bunch of people to come, and we'll give out prizes, and we don't really want people to come. They can if they want to over to Advanced Windows, but mostly we want people to call and say, hey, can I get on your schedule? And he's going to offer some deals. And, I mean, these deals are amazing. Already, Advanced Windows is cheaper than any other Windows company around. And then he's going to throw on like $3,500 off or something.
Whoa.
Tonight only. So, that'll be from 4 to 6 today. In fact, here's let's check weather, and then you'll hear a little bit more about that.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust.
This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, before we get rolling on this next segment, I want to mention Angelica's Mexican Grill, the very first AG-approved client. Been 5 years now that Angelica's has been a part of my life and a part of your life, hopefully, too. Angelica's features fresh Mexican food. Now, the thing I love about Angelica, the recipes come from Angelica. She's from Mexico. She is a naturalized U.S. citizen, followed all the rules, passed the test. She is an American, but she does not deny. In fact, she loves her Mexican roots, and she loves her Mexican food, and she is so good at it. She brought all her and her family's recipes to Angelica's Mexican Grill, where you can get quesadilla or street tacos, or you can get burritos and quesadillas, and I'm making myself hungry, mulita, all that good stuff. Torta, they have a big, giant Mexican sandwich called a torta. It's all there at Angelica's Mexican Grill. They're located right downtown, 101 East St. George Boulevard. They have a really cool mural. Now, next time you go in there, look at the back wall when you get in there. It's a huge mural, a fusion of Old Dixie and New Dixie and Old Mexico, kind of fused into one mural. It's very, very cool and part of the ambiance and the great experience that you'll have at Angelica's Mexican Grill. Again, 101 East St. George Boulevard. Angelica's is AG approved. All right, let's do some music, shall we? Yeah, there's the Andy Griffith Show music. Also the Andy Griffin Show music. Marianne Hamilton is with me today on the Andy Griffin Show. Didn't get to hear from Marianne last month, right?
It was election day.
Oh, it was election
day.
That's
right.
Yeah, we were very, very busy. But Marianne, I was going to say Angelica, but Marianne was gracious enough to say, well, I'll take the month off and we'll come back next month bigger and better and badder than ever.
I can tell you about all the things that have changed in my life, if anybody cares. Yeah.
Huge changes. You are stepping down from the Miss Senior Universe.
Executive director position.
Executive director.
Yeah. Now that I'm actually going to be going into an office, some days a week. It's a part-time job, but I know it'll be pretty consumptive, and some writing at home as well. And then the new board position at Kanta, and I'm still a race director for the Huntsman World Senior Games, and still actively involved in promoting senior health and fitness. It's time to embrace some new possibilities.
I was going through the history of the text you sent me. You sent me quite a few lengthy texts. None as long as the one you sent me the other day, but still, there's quite a few.
Andy, I'm a journalist, you know. give me a keyboard, I go crazy.
I know, but with your thumbs, I mean, that's a little bit harder. Yeah. So, of course, with my thumbs, you know, I have big thumbs and a little teeny keyboard on a phone, and you have pretty little thumbs.
Well, they seem too big to me.
they're little. Trust me.
Okay.
All right. Marianne has been our senior fitness guru. I think you'll still be our senior fitness guru, even though you're not teaching water aerobics, right?
I'm still very, very committed to fitness, and I belong to a gym and still out there. I did the Snow Canyon Half Marathon a couple of Saturdays ago.
Wow.
Which was really, really wonderful.
Did you race walk?
I did. I was race walking, and Michelle Graves was running, so we were sort of at the same speed. And when we got up to the start line, which is sort of halfway between Diamond and Dameron Valley, there was snow on the ground, which was exciting.
Oh, wow.
Because it had rained down here the night before, and it was very cold up there. But once we got going, the weather was spectacular, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful day. And I actually had too many clothes on. I was overdressed.
Oh, you're hot. Yeah. Do you ever, at some point when you're race walking, want to just break into an actual sprint?
Oh, sure. Yeah, once in a while. Especially going downhill, it's easier to run downhill. But
yeah, that's true.
I try and remain true to my sport.
That's
and clean.
Dedicated to race walking. I like that.
Yeah.
You mentioned Doug used to power walk, and he now runs more than he walks, right?
Well, actually, he was a runner. Then he had a knee replacement surgery. He tried, when we met, he tried to race walk, and he enrolled and registered for a few race walking events and kept getting disqualified because his legs aren't super, super flexible, and he couldn't keep his knees straight. So he's kind of
that's
gone
a good segue for the next segment.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So he went back to jogging a little bit. Then he had a knee replacement surgery. So now he's sort of kind of power walking when he's out on the trails and cycling.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mentioned the segue. You were talking about flexibility and stretching. And I am notoriously unflexible. I even way back when I played football, you know, they do, you know, in football, you sit on the ground and you stretch this. And I was always the worst one at getting stretched. And I don't know. I know it's something I can improve, and I have improved in different ways over the years, but bottom line is I'm still pretty unflexible. But that's kind of an important thing.
It's super, super important. It has to do with your balance and how you walk and how you carry yourself through space. And you're a big guy. You're a tall guy. You have a lot of places to stretch that need – they probably get stiffened, and especially sitting all day at the studio.
Yeah.
It doesn't help.
Yeah. So what are some stretching tips that you can throw our way for – you know, we all get caught up in, I got to do the crane and the bridge and all that stuff. But, you know, some of us just can't do some of that stuff.
Yeah.
So what can we do?
Well, there's a really good way, first of all, to gauge, you know, your flexibility. There's something that's called the sit-to-stand test, which
I hate that one.
Have you done that one before, Andy?
Yes. Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so you want to stand out in space or out in a room that has some room, and you're just standing nice and tall, and then you sort of squat down to the ground, and then cross your legs and get back up without using any parts of your other body.
That is not happening for me, but I can see the advantages of it. But
yeah,
without using arms or hands or leaning on anything,
a chair,
you have to go
or
down
something,
and
elbow,
back up again.
Right, and you start with giving yourself 10 imaginary points, and then for every, I think, assistance or aid that you need to get back
every
up.
Little cheat.
Yes, you deduct a point. So I was happy that I was able to do it with a 9-pointer, but I had to have one finger on my fingertip on the ground to get myself back up. But
you got 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. So that was okay. That was good.
I would be 0. Well, it depends. I mean, if I had, I'd only need one point off if it was something really good to hold on to.
Your doorknob,
That would be like, you know, -9 for one thing, probably.
Well, you know, I'm lower to the ground than you are, too. I'm only 5'1.5", so it's not too far for me to go.
Yeah, I'm a foot and a half taller than you, so.
Well, there you go. But it's, you know, basically it indicates, you know, how your core strength is and, you know, how your balance level is. And, you know, if you want to achieve a higher score, there are certainly ways you can do that. You can, if people know how to do bridging, where you lay on your back on the floor, put your feet flat on the floor, and then your arms are down here, and you try and raise your hips up off the ground, raise and lower slowly. And
so that really helps.
Yeah, it really, really helps. It helps you build your core strength very, very much and very pretty rapidly as well. And it's something that pretty much anybody can do. And you only have to do it, you know, a couple times and you start increasing the height of your, raising your hips over time. And you can contract all your core muscles before you go back down. And it's really, really good. You can do it on any floor or any carpet. It's really helpful if you put a yoga mat underneath you to kind of put that stability. And basically, other ways you can go to the pool. Swimming's a really, really good exercise. It's low impact, and it's helpful for, you know, sort of lengthening and strengthening all of your muscles.
I wanted to ask you about that. When you do things in the pool, it feels like, and I guess this is one of the advantages of doing it in the pool. I can do stuff myself in the pool that I can't do when I'm standing on the regular ground out of the water. Is it as beneficial if I were to do, say, maybe jog in place in the pool as compared to jogging in place on the ground?
I think the physics that I've read says that you know, if it's not that your weight is 1/3 less, but the impact on your joints is 1/3 less.
That's big.
Or 2/3 less. So it's like 1/3 of what you normally is. And it's super, super, super healthy. You're still getting that sort of cardio and the movement of your muscles, but you're not getting jammed on.
Kind of like you were talking about with you in the aerobics instruction,
exactly.
The pounding on the deck.
Yeah. There. I mean, I've seen people in my years teaching who have come out of the locker room and they're on walkers, they're on canes, they have oxygen machines, they have, you know, all kinds of physical issues. And I think, oh, good heavens, what's going to happen when they get in the water? And they're just...
They're fine.
They're like fish. Yeah. They're happy. The water's very supportive. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to be if you have physical limitations of any kind.
My dad, who is 89, swims three times a week, and he was telling me about a friend he has at the pool. She's on a walker. She can, you know, her balance is not good. She does not walk very well on the ground. But he says she does water aerobics before he gets there, and when he gets there, she does laps.
Yep.
And he's like, you would look at her and you go, there's no possible way she can do that stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the water, she can do that stuff.
I had so many folks who came back to classes after having strokes that were, you know, the same way. They were sort of impaired. You could tell that they were walking in a different way or their balance was bad. But yet being in the water was so, so, so helpful. One of the things I took to my new office was my farewell card from everybody from the Aquatic Center. And so many people wrote things that had changed in their lives after being in classes or things that they had, benefits they'd received. And it just, you know, brought me to tears because you don't realize what an impact you're having on lots and lots and lots of people.
Yeah, it's true.
It's exciting.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Even on the show, hopefully you're having an impact on someone that says, you know what, you can do it.
Well, hopefully, yeah. I mean, Andy, my last birthday was a couple weeks ago. I just turned 72.
And really? Yeah. Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. It was 23rd. And
right around Thanksgiving. I'll bet sometimes it is on Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is every 7 years. In fact, you know, family lore is that my mother, I was born the day after, I think, and my mom went into labor during Thanksgiving dinner, but I was the fourth child, so she was like, I know how this goes.
Yeah,
and
so she, I'm good. I got a couple hours.
Yeah, she, you know, cleaned all the dishes and put everything away and then went to the hospital and had me at 5:23 in the morning. So.
Wow. A little turkey there with a baby.
Well,
it was a baby and a turkey.
The first girl ever, so that was kind of a big deal.
Nice.
After three boys, yeah.
And that would have been, what, in the 40s, 50s?
Please, 1952.
Sorry, bad math. My dad was born in 35.
My parents got married in 1937. My mom was born in 1917. My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid talking to my grandparents, and my grandpa was born in 1910. I was like, oh, you're so old.
That seems prehistoric now.
Yeah, it does. But we're talking with Marianne Hamilton. I got to get a commercial break in. Again, more about the remote today at 4 o'clock at Advanced Window Products. Hey, guys, this is Andy Griffin. I'm going to be over at Advanced Windows this afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m. today. As the weather cools down, you're going to need windows that seal all the way. You don't want those crappy windows with the air leak. That's awful. What you want to do is you want to get Advanced Window Products, a Utah company, to provide your house with brand new replacement windows. Now, I'm going to be at Advanced Windows, 1704 Sunset Boulevard. I'm going to be there from 4 to 6 today. Come by and say hi, or better yet, give them a call. And they have some special deals going on only while I'm there. 4 to 6 today on KDXU.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Marianne Hamilton is in the room with me. Marianne is such a kind and sweet young lady. She is. I say young. She's older than me, but she looks young. Yeah.
Thank you, Andy. You're very kind.
And Marianne brought something, so we're going to do this first, right?
Okay. Oh, sure.
You wanted me to open it on the air, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
It's always fun to embarrass you.
No, it's am okay. I going to be embarrassed?
I don't think so.
Maybe I don't want to do it on the air.
So, it'll make you laugh.
So we're unwrapping a bag, and there are two things in the bag. Should I open this one first or the other one?
Okay. Sure.
We'll open this one first. This is a box with, Pop-Tarts! And she even remembered my favorite flavor.
I had no idea.
These are, so most Pop-Tarts are breakfast food. You know, you have strawberry and blueberry and cinnamon. But these Oreo, frosted cookies and cream. I guess they can't say Oreo because they didn't pay the licensing fees. But these are like anytime snacks.
Went with what I would have preferred.
You guessed arbitrarily.
Okay, good.
And by the way, BYU is supposed to get their bowl bid this weekend. And Pop-Tart Bowl is one of them. The Pop-Tart Bowl. And I'm like, I hope they go to the Pop-Tart Bowl. I don't know why, but I hope they do.
You need swag from there, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay, and then this other item I am opening now. And it is a framed picture of Andy and Marianne. And look how tiny you are compared to me. Holy
smokes. That's the funniest picture I've ever seen.
It is kind of funny. Yeah, I'm standing there with my Pop-Tart Power shirt on that you got me. Yeah. And you're Marianne, and I could almost fit you in my pocket. That's about the size differential.
That was from the art festival this year.
Yeah, we will. And that is awesome. We'll put that up in our studio right.
Oh, good.
Well, that's a working station there, so I'll put it right over here.
Okay.
We'll have it for us.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Marianne. It's very kind of you.
You're very welcome.
Very kind of you.
I hope you enjoy the Pop-Tarts and doesn't get mad.
I've been trying very hard to be good as far as what I eat, so I will. What I can do, though, is have like one Pop-Tart a day for, there's six of them in there, or eight.
There are 12, I think.
Oh, 12.
Oh, no, there's eight. I'm sorry. Yes.
There's eight. So eight. That's a week's worth of evening snack.
There you go. And they're, so it says it's 360, but I think that's for two
for
in a
two,
package.
Yeah,
so 180?
180 calories. That's not bad. If I'm trying to keep under a number, that's going to get me there. My wife, oh man, I'm going to ask you about the calories here. Have you ever counted calories? Have
oh,
you ever
sure. Been a calorie? Absolutely.
So my wife has gone to this doctor and he's like, well, you need to be around, if you want to lose weight, around 1,500 calories a day.
Mm.
And I'm like, that is not very many
that's
calories.
Not.
That's like you eat three things and you're done. And she's done a fantastic job. In fact, they say if you exercise a lot, you can bump that number up based on how many calories you burn.
You burn, sure.
She's like, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to go the 1,500. If I exercise, that's a bonus or whatever. But, you know, there are some days she's to the end of her calories. And I'm like, I don't know how you can, you know, I mean, it's 5 o'clock. You got 4 or 5 hours till bedtime. I don't know what you're going to do. But
yeah, that seems really extreme.
She has done an amazing job.
I'd heard of $2,000 calorie diet, which seems a little bit more reasonable.
Yeah, I agree.
Even that's kind of low.
I agree.
Especially if you're exercising or you're an athlete, you need.
But they base it on your size and how much activity you get and stuff like that. And I guess that's the number he said. If you want to lose weight, he said, if you want to maintain, I think maintain number was up there.
Yeah.
But if you want to lose weight, mm-hmm. here's the number you need to be at. And so I hope I'm not saying too much. You might be mad at me later. But
no, I mean, good for her that she's sticking to this regimen.
She's lost like 10 pounds. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, she looks fantastic.
So now she's even more beautiful, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not that equates beauty, but, you know, she probably feels
better. Yeah, we got to be careful.
No. I'm not saying that.
Yeah. In fact, we're very, the Griffin household, not only my wife and I, but my son and his wife and other members of the family are all very, very, weight and fitness conscious right now. We're all trying to lose weight and get back in our playing.
Fantastic. So, that always makes you feel better about yourself when you really have that goal and that purpose.
Yeah. And I kind of have been subscribing, and I'm going to talk with Dr. Blodgett about this tomorrow. The idea that you don't have to quit everything. You just have to moderate.
Exactly. Everything in moderation. It's that M word we've talked about. I have, one piece of Dove dark chocolate every night. One of those little,
perfect.
You know, it's sort of my treat I look forward to, but I don't go berserk the rest of the day.
Well, even with Thanksgiving, in your text, you talked about Thanksgiving, how we probably overindulged all of us a little bit, and we probably did, but you know what? If you have a piece of pumpkin pie or mm-hmm. even a half piece or something, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right?
If you have
four pieces.
Half the pie.
Yeah.
I had just stuff that I don't normally have. I mean, I had, mashed potatoes and gravy and some stuffing and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But that's one day and I don't have that pretty much every day. So give yourself permission to enjoy.
Now you have been a housewife. You've been a woman for most of your life, I think all of it, probably.
I was born female.
So I learned something. Maybe I didn't learn it, but I was reminded of something this Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. There is a difference between stuffing and dressing. Apparently, stuffing is, it actually has to have been inside the bird to qualify as stuffing. Mm-hmm. Dressing is pretty much the same stuff, only it never went in the bird. Is that, am I right on this? Is that?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Yes. And you can have different.
Which is better?
Oh, I love what's been inside the bird because it has that flavor. Yeah, but you can add a lot of other stuff in the dressing that you maybe wouldn't put inside your bird. So it's kind of a toss up.
Okay, are we cutting up celery in our stuffing/dressing?
Oh yeah.
Cut up celery.
Yeah,
onions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For sure.
And then I don't know what else goes in that. I've never made stuff for myself.
But. Other stuff. They put, you know, cranberries in the dressing or something. And
that's a little weird.
It's a little weird. But yeah, I do love cranberries, but they need to be separate from
Sauce or jelly or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
I don't like that sliced stuff out of the can. That's just basically cranberries and 400 pounds of sugar.
And it looks like a can of dog food.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That, no,
it wiggles out of the can.
Not good.
No. But, so, you know, cranberries are not particularly sweet in their natural state. So you do have to add some pretty heavy flavorings.
My daughter-in-law made a punch with I don't know all the ingredients in it, but it was in this big giant glass container thing, and it had a whole bunch of cranberries in it.
Oh, yum.
And I don't know if any of the cranberry flavor got in the punch, but it was good. And it had real cranberries in it. So
sounds pretty tasty.
All right, so what's next for Marianne? You're working your new job.
Yes, I'm
going. You're on the board now for Kayenta.
Correct.
Art, right? And is there anything else that we need to... Well, you're still going to do the senior game stuff,
still
right?
Still going to do the senior games, yeah. I'm just going to try and see where this takes me. I think the new job is going to entail some pretty fun opportunities. Since I'll be working with the recreation and the races group as well, they've talked about us going, Doug and me going to different... like marathon expos and talking up the St. George Marathon and other races that we have on schedule. So
you can use your beauty queen charm on the other race people.
That'll last about 12 seconds. But yeah, it'll be fun to be out and be a representative for the community and in our race department and all the cool things that St. George has to offer.
I will tell you this, anytime you put together a press release, make sure to email it to me.
Indeed.
I would love to be on your mailing list and publicize whatever you have going.
Okay, well, I'll let David Cordero know that because all the
press releases... I'll tell Dave. No, leave Dave out of the loop.
He sends out the press releases that have the St. George,
City of St. George. We can't leave Dave out.
But I'll send you the one that I wrote yesterday about next week's concert with the John Denver tribute performer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear that, And we'll have it on our website. There was one thing I wanted to bring up. We only have a couple of minutes. And maybe you know about this. Maybe you don't know much about this. I did a story on 890kdxu.com about microplastics in our water. I know you're drinking bottled water.
Yeah.
From
your refrigerator, actually.
No, and I'm sure it's good. And we all think, okay, well, that's better than, you know, water, tap water, whatever. But it's something that I think we all need to start thinking about and maybe talking to people who take care of our water for us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to worry yet, but it's one of those things. It's a growing concern.
Really alarming.
Yeah.
And how much of that ends up in our bodies, in our systems, and causes us, I don't want to think about, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Plus what it's doing to the earth is really scary.
Well, and everybody says, well, it's, you know, it's only because you bottle water. No, it's in tap water. It's mm-hmm. in our groundwater, the water that we use to run our everyday lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's there because it, you know, it takes 100 years for those to degrade or whatever.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit scary. So check that out on 890kdxu.com. And believe it or not, Marianne, we've used up our time today. Anything else you want to throw at me before we go?
No, just have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. And I hope all your listeners do the same.
Yeah.
I'll see you in the new year.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. Thank you, Marianne.
Thanks, Andy.
Talk to you all tomorrow. Dr. Blodgett is on.